All right, let's go to the next step. That's step number two. Let us therefore labor, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, and if you should seem to fall short of it. The law, the word to labor, it simply means you got to labor against unbelief. Now, unbelief isn't all of itself. Unbelief comes by doubt. And every one of us has doubt. There's not a person in this tent that doesn't doubt. It's the truth. I doubt. But I've learned to use doubt against the devil. I choose to believe God, and I doubt the lies of Satan.
Amen.
If I'm going to have to doubt anyway, I might as well use it profitably.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if God says a thing, I believe it. And anything that comes to me contrary to the Word of God, oh, I doubt that. But your eyes are telling you, so what? I doubt that. It's like learning to fly by instruments. If John F. Kennedy Jr. knew how to fly by instruments, he'd be alive today. Many Christians today crash and burn because they don't know how to fly by instruments. And church, here's your instruments right here.
Amen.
This is your instruments. It doesn't matter what my body says. It doesn't matter what my eyes see, my ears hear, my skin feels, my emotions feel. None of that matters. What matters is what this Word says.
Amen.
If you're going to fly by instruments, you got to get rid of the emotions.
Amen.
I don't mean get rid of them in not having them. I mean get rid of them in the sense of following after them. Amen?
Amen.
I had a preacher come to me one day and said, "Preacher, you don't make me feel good." I said, "I didn't know I was supposed to." He said, "Oh, yeah, I don't feel that tingle." I said, "Oh, well, shoot, let me help you with that. Here's $20. Put it towards the money and go buy you a prostitute. She'll make you tingle." "Oh, that's a terrible thing to say." I said, "Yes, it is, but it gets the point across. Not every tingle is of God. You can tingle over a lot of things. And it doesn't mean it's of God. Amen?
Amen.
Just because somebody says something and you go, ooh, doesn't mean God is behind it. It can be a lot of things. There are all kinds of spirits that can do that. But what was it Peter said? He was talking about seeing Jesus Christ in his glorified state along with Moses and Elijah. And he said, "But even then, I've got something even better. A more perfect word of prophecy," which is the Word of God.
Amen.
You can't just take something because it feels good or sounds good. You've got to look at and compare it to the Word of God. If that idiot that talked to that moron eye, or is that Moroni? Moroni had read the Word, he would have kicked that angel in the butt and never believed it. Now watch this. There are a couple of scriptures. I don't remember exactly where they are. One of them was Paul. And he's talking about Satan being the angel of light. And if he could turn himself into the angel of light, it's no strange thing that his ministers could turn themselves into ministers of light. All right, what is he talking about there? He's talking about ministers who look right, who sound right, who look good, but they preach an unholy thing. What is that unholy thing? It's the law. Not that the law is unholy, but to think that you can be saved by it is unholy.
Amen.
To think that you can be justified by it, that is what's unholy. Again, Jude spoke about those who crept in unawares. They brought in the law. Now, how'd they creep in unawares? They looked right. You come in a three-piece suit, bouffant hairdo, and you say the right words, and people are going to say, "Oh, what a great minister that is." You come in telling them you ain't wrapped too tight and there's nothing really that good about you and you need to get some fetching up, and they're going to say, "Oh, you're a terrible person. You don't make me feel good." You got to come to that place where you believe Jesus. And don't worry about this. There are three things, and I hit it every single night. Every single night, there are three things that you must do. One, take God serious. If you want an interpretation of that, simply means believe Him. Two, don't take yourself too serious. Let me assure you, you are not big enough to hurt God a bit. You cannot stop God from doing what He's going to do. He may rearrange how you get it done. You know, Paul did not have to take a prison ship to Rome. He could have ridden first class, not prison class, if he just did what God told him to do. Amen? But he still went to Rome, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So how he got there was his fault. But the fact that he got there was God's doing in spite of Paul. I'm here in this tent because God wanted me to be here in this tent. How I got here, whether it was easy or hard, is neither here nor there. Amen. Amen. Lord knows I tried not to be here. Lord knows I tried everything I could to be in South Carolina right now. This Flatlander wanted to go home. He'd been gone for 2 months. I wanted to go home for a little bit. That guy over there got on the side of the Lord, and between the two of them wouldn't let me leave. Amen. It's all your fault, right? No. It's God's fault. And I bless Him for it, and I praise Him for it.
Amen.
You see, when you come to the understanding that you're nothing and He is everything, you stop fighting. You stop laboring. So then you can go to the next step. Let us therefore hold fast our profession of faith. Now, a profession is different than a confession. A confession is what you say, and a profession is what you do. Huh? Once you come to that place where you're no longer fighting with God, and you're serving Him and believing Him, guess what? The signs are going to follow. Now, there was a guy, he's down in South Carolina now, he had to go back, but Paul Muller. I've met him about, what, 3 years ago? 3-4 years ago? You talk about four? That long? You talk about a guy with problems. This guy had more problems than you could shake a stick at. Well, not as many as Ralph Anderson, but he had some problems. And God got his attention the first day I met him. We're sitting in a motorhome. And we're talking, and he's having some problems. I said, "What's the matter with your leg?" He said, "Oh, I've got this little problem." I said, "No, not anymore. You don't. You're healed in Jesus' name." And I said, "Get up and move around." He got up and moved around. He says, "Man, it's gone." But he's a little slow. It took him a week to find out that the thing that caused it was gone, too. He had rheumatoid arthritis. It was all through his body and all of his joints. He'd get up in the morning with his hands like this, and it'd take him hours to get it out, and all kinds of pain. And it was about 3 months he realized, hey, that was gone, too. God healed it all. Amen. I didn't know he had that. I didn't know he had it. Guess what? I didn't have to.
Amen.
He did. Amen. Prayed for her one night with those migraines. Gone just like that, right? I didn't know you had that other thing, but it was gone too. Amen. We had a lady come in the tent with diabetes. Huh? Uncontrolled diabetes. God healed her. Boom. Just like that. And a bunch of other things too. I didn't know about those things, but guess what? It doesn't matter. He does.
Amen.
Huh? All he needs is a mouthpiece. All he needs is a hand. Lord showed it to me like this. If I need to get up and go to the little boy's room and my feet turn to me and say, "Oh, Richard, I love you. And I think you're so cool. And I just want to just praise you, but I can't do it. Would you do it for me?" Guess what? I ain't going to make it. I'm going to have a mess on my hands. And I'm going to be mad at my feet. Huh?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, there's other parts of me that's going to be mad at my feet too. I'm trying to make this as nice as I can, but it's the truth. When God says to the church, heal the sick, and the sick doesn't do it because, well, we just want you to do it. Whose fault is it?
Church.
These people out here, well, but look at the world out here. If God is a God of love, why does He let all this hunger and sickness and disease go on? He doesn't. We do.
Yep.
He's not to blame. We are. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Wherefore, if salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Salt holds back corruption. You take a hunk of meat, throw it in a salt barrel, and you can come back a year later and eat that meat. But if you come back and that meat's rotten, what are you going to do? You're going to dump out that salt and get rid of it. God is about to get rid of the churches in America because they're not salty enough to hold back anything. Anything. Not only that, did not Jesus warn us when He said, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod? Did He not warn us with that? The leaven of Herod represented government. The leaven of the Pharisees represented the educated snobs. Huh? Has the church kept that warning? No. They've gone and incorporated themselves. They've joined the government. We talk about separation of church and state. There's no separation of church and state. The state owns the churches, lock, stock, and barrel. And preachers work for them. Well, this is one preacher that doesn't.
Amen.
We've got to start walking in that profession, holding fast the profession. Once you start believing the gospel and walking in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the signs begin to follow you. Hold fast. Paul came up here, I told him, I said, if you can come, I'll guarantee you two things. One, a hard time, and two, you'll never be the same. And I delivered on both. I gave him a hard time every chance I got, didn't I, Scott? But he'll never be the same. While he was in Cornish Flat, he got to see the Shekinah glory of the Lord. He watched people get healed. He watched a drug addict come off of heroin, 30 bags a day, totally, completely delivered. He's seen healings. Amen. And he experienced more healings. And God has moved on this man, and he'll never be the same. And then one day, sitting out at a campsite, without even thinking, he reached over and prayed for somebody, and they were healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that just goes to show that what I am saying is true. God isn't interested in Richard Utzler running around healing the sick, or that one over there, or the other one. He wants His body, all of us, doing it.
Amen.
And I want to show you something, because this is true. No one in this tent has any less faith than I do. And no one in this tent has any more faith than I do. Because God gives us all the same amount of faith.
Amen.
My question is, where did you put your faith? The world tells you don't put your faith, all your eggs in one basket. But God says put them all in His basket. When you grow up, you start taking that faith. God gives you a rock. It's a big hunk of faith. And if you take that hunk of rock and throw it in a pond, what's going to happen? It's going to make a big splash, and the ripples are going to go out throughout that whole pond. But if you sit down with a hammer and you hammer on it until all you've got left is a little tiny, teeny little grain of sand, and you take that and throw it in the pond's not even going to know it was there. And that's what's happened to most people. They have allowed their faith, to be taken and shivered off in all kinds of directions to where when it comes necessary to use their faith for God, it's not there. They don't have any. It's just a little tiny bit. But there's a remedy for that. First of all, confess it to God. Confess to God. Remember the man who came to Jesus Christ's disciples while he was being transfigured. They had a son with a demon, and they couldn't cast the demon out. And when Jesus got there, he said, "What's happening?" And the man said, "Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out. Can you do it?" How do you... I doubt it. And the Lord says, "All things are possible if you believe." And what did the man say? He said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief."
Amen.
This guy was honest with the Lord. He said, "I've got a belief, Lord. I've got a little faith, but I just don't have enough."
Amen.
Jesus did a marvelous thing. You'll never read of him doing this again. You won't read of him doing this again. When he cast the demon out of that boy, he did something he never, ever did again that is written down. He commanded it never to return.
Yep.
He stood in the place of that father. He took that little bit of faith the father had, added his own to it, commanded that demon to go, and then he said one other thing. He said, "And don't you come back."
Amen.
That's the only time he ever did that. Because the father was honest and admitted he didn't have enough faith.
Yeah.
I was in a church service one night. I think you were there, Ann. When some woman said she didn't have enough faith to be healed. I can't remember if it was her ear or blindness or something or cancer. It was down in Harold Harbor, Maryland, back in around 1976. Was her back or something? And she just cried. She didn't have enough faith. I said, "Don't worry about it, honey. I'll loan you mine." Remember that? It was who? Mary Redding. And I told her, I said, "If you're not healed, I'll never preach again." Well, you can tell I'm still preaching. Because God healed her. I'm going to tell you, church, sometimes you just got to get out there. Sometimes you just got to get out there. You got to get out and take the plunge. And then look. What's the final step? We're all still in Hebrews 4. The final step. "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that ye may find help in time of need."
Amen.
Mercy. Mercy and help. Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know, there are times when you need mercy.
Amen.
There are times when you need help. And how many times can you go boldly to God's throne and walk in there like you belong there? You can if you do the others.
Amen.
The new man that crosses over the River Jordan is a man of faith. He walks by the Spirit, not by the flesh. To him all things are yea, yea, and amen. To the flesh all things are impossible. But to the Spirit all things are possible in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The man who walks after the Spirit of God doubts nothing. The man who walks after the Spirit of God believes all things. The man who walks after the Spirit of God walks in health. He walks in obedience. He doesn't walk in pride. He walks in humility. He walks in meekness. Meekness, church. Let's look at meekness. God said that Moses was the meekest of all men. Do you think for one minute Pharaoh thought Moses was meek when he was pulling those plagues on him? I don't think so. Did Moses look meek when he threw down the commandments? Did Moses look meek when he commanded the ground to open up and swallowed half those people? Meekness, let me tell you what meekness is. Meekness simply means obedient. That's all it means. But the world wants you to think that it means wimpy. Meekness is not wimpy. Meekness is power. Meekness is strength.
Amen.
Meekness is courage.
Amen.
Strong courage. Because you have to have that to obey God. You have to have it. God is restoring order to His church in these last days. Those that want to get on the bandwagon and go with Him will be blessed and walk in the power of God. Those that don't will be left behind. It's as simple as that. It's like the day when Elijah went up to Elisha and he took his mantle and he walked up to him. Threw it on him and walked off. And Elisha said, let me go kiss my parents. What did Elijah say? What have I to do with you? What do I to do with you? Elisha knew exactly what that meant. He said he better get in gear and go with Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's about, church. You say, well, I've got this responsibility. I've got that responsibility. I've got the other responsibility. Let me tell you what your responsibility is. The only thing you've got to do in this life, Gail, is stay female and die. That's the only thing you have to do. Amen? Everything else is a choice. Huh? Well, actually, I guess they got it today where you can actually become a male, but you're still going to be a female as far as God's concerned. Still a choice, huh? The only thing I have to do in this world that I have to do is stay male and die. Years ago, I used to say stay white and die, but I don't know about that anymore. Everything else I do is a choice. I said to a man the other day, he said, well, if I could do this, I wish I could do that, I wish I could do the other thing. I said, man does what he wants to do. And that's the truth. I had a man tell me that years and years ago. It made me so mad I couldn't see straight. For 3 years, I tried to convince that man he was wrong. For 3 whole solid years. And then one day, God finally got it through my head. He was right. I was wrong. You just use excuses for doing or not doing. Truth of the matter, God has called everybody in this tent to follow Him. Man, woman, child, makes no difference. He's called you to the army of God. Do you hear that, children? You're not called to be a bride. You're not called to be a pew warmer. You're called to be a soldier.
Amen.
A warrior. You're called to walk in the body of Christ and wear His armor. You're called to serve. You're called to serve. If you think you're sovereign and that you're your own master, forget it. You're not. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God.
Yep.
In the kingdom of God, God is sovereign and He will not share it. In the kingdom of the world, Satan is sovereign and he will not share it. And the battle is between the two. And we have to decide which of those two are we going to go on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now there's a song I want to sing. And you know the one, son. It's the one about how he took me out of this miry clay here.
Yes, sir.
The guy that wrote that song, whether he knew it, meant it that way, I don't know. But the way I take it is that he's taken me out of this miry clay so he can put me in himself on the rock. Woman was in here the other night. She said after the service, she said, Brother Richard, she said, you said something to me that I needed to hear. Because I came in and I admitted I had a bad day and I had a bad attitude. I had a rotten attitude. But I got out there and I prayed and I said, Lord, I know that this rotten attitude is not bigger than you are. So I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to go in that tent and I'm going to do the best I can. If it's 1 person or 100 people, it doesn't make any difference. Because I'm serving you. And I also know, Lord, that whoever you have in this tent, you've ordained. Al come up to us the other day. And he was upset because the tent wasn't full, weren't you? He was upset because the tent wasn't full. I told him, don't be upset. It is full. I don't think I told you that, but I will tell you this. The tent is full. God promised me I'd never put the tent up with an empty seat. So people are looking around, looking at what they see as empty, and I see them full of angels, holding them for the elect. Go ahead and say that again.
When somebody comes in, an angel gets up and leaves.
That's right. Angels are holding the seats for the elect. The world can't understand this, and the world won't understand it. But God has an elect seed, and He's bringing them. It's going to be one or two at a time, and then it's going to be three or four, and it'll start increasing. But every single one is important. Everyone is important. And everyone's called to serve the mighty God. Amen. I like that. Just keep playing that. That's nice. You're a minister, aren't you? Are you a minister? Huh? Been involved in ministry. What kind of ministry? Worship teams? Prayer teams? So you're a minister. You may not be licensed by some state-run church, huh? But you've preached the gospel. You've witnessed. You've sang. Well, don't be ashamed. You're a minister. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you a minister? Pastor for 7 years. I saw it on you. You're here for a reason. You're his wife? Huh? No? Are you a minister? Amen. See, God knows what He's doing. He takes this old false-toothed man with dumpy old glasses and old tatter suit, flat feet that stink. Huh? And He says, don't worry. I've got the ones here that I want. And I'll give you the words they need to hear. I don't prepare my sermons. I don't have a clue what I'm going to say when I come in here. Because what I've got to say is important. God bless you. And God bless your ministries. And if I leave here and you don't remember who I am, that's all right. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't remember everything I say, that's all right too. God will bring it back to your remembrance. And if you receive me, I'm going to tell you, this is important. If you receive me as of the Lord, then His anointing will do things in your life you never dreamed possible. Not because of me, because you received the anointing. I'll tell you one other thing that's important. And I don't know if this is the Lord telling me to tell you this or not, but it's something I believe is right to tell. You hear these preachers out here talking about my anointing, my anointing, my anointing, my anointing. There's only seven anointings. Only seven. If you have an anointing, it's one of those seven. One of the seven churches. I don't have an anointing. I carry an anointing. And it's one of those seven. When you realize that, all of a sudden you don't covet that. You covet the one who gives it. Paul referred to it as a dispensation of grace given to me to you word. See, a dispensation of grace has a limit and has a time. But the grace is timeless. See, if it were my anointing, it would die with me. But I could drop dead right now, the anointing would go on. Amen. Sing it. You know, Al, we've already talked about this, so this isn't anything new. It's not a great revelation. We've already talked about it. That cancer you got 7 years ago, or about 7 years ago, God's kept you alive for a purpose. He's kept you alive for Him. He's let you do a lot of things, let you believe a lot of things. He's the one that's kept you alive, and you know that because He showed you He's going to get it. You're going to win that battle. The Lord showed you that night. I prayed for you. Gave you a full night of total deliverance. And you knew you were delivered. But Satan hates you. And he's going to battle you, but you are going to win.
Amen.
The Lord has shown me that. Focus on Him. Take the mountain.
Amen.
Amen. You want to tell somebody later what just happened, go ahead. I don't normally do this. Anybody want prayer for a specific thing here tonight? Anybody? All right, let's sing that song. Al, would you? Did you raise your hand for prayer or something? What was that? I rebuke it in Jesus' name and command it to leave. And Lord, take my faith and add it to His. And the faith of those who are here that will give it. Add it to it. Cancer, I rebuke you. Command you to leave. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let me know how your night goes tonight. Tomorrow. Can't let me know tonight, but you can let me know tomorrow. Amen. Pastor, if you come back, you want to use the mic, you're welcome to it. You want to appear one night, use the mic, you're welcome to it. This is God's tabernacle, it ain't mine. Amen? If you preach something different than I do, that's all right too. God will fix us both. Because none of us wrap too tight. Amen? One more time, son.
Praise
give the Lord a prayer.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise your Lord. Key up Jordan River.
Yes, sir.
Now, those of you who've been here before, you know we don't take up an offering. But we do have needs. The baskets are up at the front as the Lord leads. Amen?
Yep.
And Steve will probably tell you some other stuff to bore you when I'm gone, but... Let's go, boy.